This morning, I want to share with you some scripture and some things that just on my heart. And as we've been kind of looking at this series, last week we talked about kind of what I talked about in that prayer time just a minute ago, about how if our hearts are not clean, we will never get to experience what God has for us. And as a matter of fact, for the majority of us, we'll wander around through life going, I don't like that person, or I don't like that church, or, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, we'll do this stuff. And I've been guilty, and I came clean last week that I had had some bitterness in my heart about some things. Didn't really have anything to do with people at 24 Church or 24 Church, but it did have to do with people in ministry. And I just had to kind of come clean with God about 3 weeks ago at a conference we were at with our college students, and God just kind of called me on the carpet. And all I know, I don't know what the guy spoke about that particular message or whatever, but I knew that at the end of it, I was just sitting there finding myself just realizing that I was just really bitter and that was keeping me from being who God really, really wanted me to be. And just began to dawn on me, I was like, man, you know, how many of us deal with that? How many of us are experiencing that? And you may be here today, and because you weren't here last week, that's kind of new on your mind at this moment. And I just want to encourage you to fight for that. Fight for what God has for you. Fight for that pure heart. Fight for a steadfast spirit. It goes on in that passage of scripture. You can go read Psalm 51 later, and we talked about this last week, but it talks about the joy of our salvation. And so many of us have lost that joy. That joy is gone. David and I were just talking last night about just how excited people were, just even in here last night at setup. I mean, it was just amazing. Here in just the last couple of weeks, we've seen a renewed excitement amongst just folks in our church. And I want to tell you what, it gets me jacked up. I mean, it's exciting. This series, Imagine, is a challenge for us to imagine who God would have us to be. Today we're going to talk about something that I'm a pretty big fan of because I'm a dreamer. And a lot of people, you know, say dreamers are, you know, all in the clouds and all this stuff. Well, you know, you can be both. You can be on the ground and in the clouds at the same time. And it's good to dream. Let me just kind of go ahead and throw that out to you this morning. Let me just kind of give you permission this morning that it is okay to think about that somewhere over the rainbow. Last week the band played that song. Reason they played that song is because it's a perfect illustration for us to realize that we so oftentimes, we may think of something, maybe God has placed something in our heart, a thought or, you know, a vision of, you know, what could be about something or something, you know, and how God could use us in that. But then all of a sudden we're like, no, that's not going to happen. That's somewhere over the rainbow. That's way out there. That's the pot of gold. And the truth is yeah, it is somewhere over the rainbow. It is out there. 24 churches aren't supposed to exist in Pleasant View, Tennessee. And you know what? It's okay to dream. And it's okay to just for a moment in time, just to kind of realize, you know what? Part of God's plan and purpose in making us creative is for us to dream big for His kingdom. You see, we're great at dreaming big for our stuff, aren't we? Man, I can dream big about stuff. Let me just kind of confess to you, I've been dreaming a little bit this week. I've been watching the Barrett Jackson auction. Anybody been watching the Barrett Jackson auction with me this week? We got like one person in the room. Thank you for supporting the Speed Channel. The Barrett Jackson auction is a classic, well, they don't call it classic car anymore. They call it collector car auction. It's amazing. I mean, in fact, it's ridiculous because the prices of cars now, old cars, muscle cars especially, are just through the roof. I mean, just a nothing car cost way too much money. And it's all because of this auction. Well, I've been watching all these cars on there. I mean, just like the best of the best. We're talking Hemi Cudas, Boss 429s. I saw a Shelby Cobra last night. I mean, you don't know what this is, but it's a little roadster, a little two-seater. Carroll Shelby made them in the 60s. They were like the it car back then. Came with a 427 sidewall. Carroll Shelby had one specially made for him. I'm going to talk over your head some right here, except for some guys in here, and you're just going to high-five me later, and we're going to be together on this. Had twin superchargers on this sucker. And the thing, no telling how many horses I think they said, but I don't remember, but it was just bad, okay? And these cars are already rare, and they're aluminum bodied, and the whole bit, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And this thing sold, Carol Shelby sold it yesterday at the auction. It sold for $5 million. A car. And it's hardly as big as this stage right here. I mean, it's little. It's a little bit of a thing. But I just, you know, we are great at dreaming about what could be. Oh, I'd love to own that thing. We'd love to have that house that we drive by every day. But God wired us this way so that we would dream big for His kingdom. And some of you have had some of those visions, some of those dreams, and you just kind of pushed them aside and gone, you know, it's just not, I'm not a preacher, I'm not, you know, a staff type person, that's not going to be for me. That's a bunch of junk. God wants to use every single one of us to do incredible things for His kingdom. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to imagine what it would be that He would use you to do. Because if you've got a clean heart, if you've got a pure heart, and you're praying for that steadfast spirit, and you have found your joy in salvation, let me just go ahead and tell you, you are going to start thinking about things. You're going to start thinking about, you know, this would be pretty cool if we could do this, do that. And let me just tell you, don't just push that aside. Pray about those things. Pray about how God might use you to be a part of those things. The problem with so many of us is that we are just stricken with fear. The what if syndrome. So many of us have the what if syndrome. Well, Chris, you know, I think that God might want me to do this thing, but I'm just going, what if? What if I were to do that? And then what if? And we just stop. And it's one of Satan's greatest games to play with us, because he can make us stop at a what if so many times that we just never go through. And don't think that I didn't play the what if game when we were praying about starting this church. There was plenty of what ifs. The thought alone of, you know, will we get paid doing this? How will we do this? How will we live anywhere and do this? And we didn't know. And we didn't know how many people would show up the first Sunday, and we didn't know if you know, man, is this just, you know, is this something just crazy that's in our mind? Is this something that God's laid on our heart? But what began to happen after we stepped out on the initial step of faith, and we knew in our hearts this is what God wanted us to do. And you'll have those moments when you know without a doubt God wants you to do something, but yet you hesitate. And here's what happens. If you won't hesitate, if you will step out on that initial step of faith, God begins to do things. And we begin to talk with people, and people that we talk to begin to be excited. And it just kind of began to roll. And it became so obvious and so evident that this was something that the Lord wanted to do, that we couldn't possibly mess it up. And so as we prayed our way through this, we prayed this prayer. And I challenge you maybe to pray this prayer in your life. And this is a prayer that I have prayed for our church since the very beginning. Since way before it existed, I have prayed this prayer for 24 Church. And the prayer has been, God, do something so amazing that people cannot look at it and go, it is because of any one person. It is because of you. And then it's not because of a group of people, but God, it's because of you. You move in ways to make us get on our knees and identify that as being completely you. And many of you have been with us during this church start from the beginning, and you've seen some of those things. You've been with us when we've prayed in a service, God, give us a car hauler. What a prayer. And then on the Monday, right after that service, someone that does not go to this church, nor did they know that we prayed that prayer, call me on the phone and say, hey, Chris, I have a car hauler. Do you need it? I want to give it to you. Let me ask you a question. Why does God give us dreams and desires? even more importantly, I'm going to put a word out here that is one of those overused words, I think, a lot of times, but it's a pretty big word in my vocabulary, and I don't just throw it around a whole lot, but it's the word passion. And you, sitting where you are at right now, sitting in your seat, you have a passion or passions for things that you can't even explain, but they're there. And some of those passions are God-given passions. They're not just materialistic passions of, man, I'd like to have every one of those cars I saw in the auction. But they're the passions that God has put in there that still makes you want to use things like the love of an automobile to glorify God somehow. How in the world, Chris, could I possibly ever do that? I wondered the same thing when I was a youth pastor at Englewood Baptist Church on Gallatin Road in Nashville, Tennessee. I prayed, God, begin to use my passions. I'm passionate about a lot of things that are outside of, you know, normal, typical church work. How could he possibly use that? I have no idea. Shortly after I was there, it just kind of inevitably began to happen that we would eventually have a few Nashville Auto Diesel College students start attending our church. And since I was the youth pastor with the old Mustangs, we automatically kind of clicked, became friends. And God began to lay on my heart an entire school. And I was thinking to myself, God, I'm a youth pastor. I work with teenagers. I'm busy, God. I've got plenty of things going on at that. You know, I don't make enough money to just work here. I have to work outside of this church along with doing school because I was in college and the whole bit. And I was just going, God, what are you trying to do here? And as God began to lay that passion on my heart, I just found myself driving down to the NADC one day. And I walked right up to the headmaster's office and talked to his secretary and said, I'd like to speak with the headmaster of the school. And I didn't know anybody. And I went in and I introduced myself and said, I would like to minister to gearheads here. How can I do that? God had gone before me and had been working in this man's heart. And he was a Christian, and he was wanting to see God do something special on a campus full of a bunch of guys that want to build hot rods. And he said, Chris, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, there's a couple other guys here that are believers. He said, actually, there's several of our instructors. He said, there's a couple of them that they're strong. They've been here for years. They got a lot of pull. They got a lot of clout. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to send you to every class in one day, and you do whatever you want to for 15 minutes in each class. I approached thousands of young men and young women in one day. We started at 5:30 in the morning because that's about the time they start classes. And one of these instructors walked me to every single class. We went from one class to one class to one class, and he would knock on the door and open the door, and I would walk through, and he would say, hey, this is Chris Royalty, and he's the youth pastor at Englewood Baptist just down the street. And the headmaster, Mr. Lovren, has basically said that he can have 15 minutes of your class time, so we're going to take 15 minutes of your class time right now. Let me tell you, not all the instructors were real happy about this. And we go in, and of course, we had already been kind of planning some things and what we were going to do, and I had begun to think through a worship service that was going to be just for these guys. We called it High Octane. We did it on Sunday nights. We did planned some trips. We had a Super Bowl party. We did a trip to the vet museum. All this stuff was kind of ready to go for me to kind of spill on these guys. We'd go in there, tell them all about the stuff, and then I would end it like this because I knew that they were just looking at me like some crazy person that didn't have a clue of their world. And I did have a clue of their world because I was just like them in many ways, and I wanted to do what they were doing earlier in life. And I said this to them. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, you may not give a rip about church and you may not know Jesus. I said, but I'm going to throw something out for you, and if you want to take me up on it, my church is just down the street and you can come by anytime. I said, maybe you're here today and maybe you've got a car that you think is fast. I said, I tell you what, I've got a car that I think is faster, and if you want to, you come down to the church and we'll set up a time when we're going to go to Union Hill Drag Strip and we're going to race. And if I win, you come to High Octane 3 weeks in a row, but if you win, I'm going to buy you a steak dinner and you never have to come to my church. Now, I knew good and well that there was no way that I could possibly have the fastest car amongst all these guys. There's no possible way. It's ridiculous to even think that. But I knew that it would make them listen. And of course, immediately what begins to happen as I'm about to leave, they're stopping me. What kind of car do you have? And so I began to share with them about my car. And it was just an opportunity to break down a wall that began something that was so incredibly special and close to my heart. I can't even tell you. And there are actually people here in our church today that are products of that happening back then, that they wanted to come and be a part of 24 Church. I got to talk with that instructor the other day that took me to every class. And he was so excited to hear what was going on here. But you see, for so many of us, we take our passions and we just go, well, that's just something I've got. You know, it's just something I like to do. There's no way that God could use that for his kingdom. Well, that's not true. We've got to quit asking the what ifs, and we've got to embrace our desires. We've got to embrace our passions. And the truth is that you may be passionate about something that you're not good at. You ever just really passionate about really wanting to sing? So, I've seen like wives nudging their husband. Yeah, you're passionate about it. Heard you in the car on the way here. But maybe you're not that great at it. Well, you have the passion for a reason. Whether you sing good or not makes no difference to God. He does desire to hear from us. He does desire to hear our worship. Even more importantly, all the other things that you have passions for that maybe you're not good at, but you know, how in the world could God use that passion to do something for his kingdom? In the book of 2 Corinthians, we see in chapter 12 this passage with Paul. And Paul had seen some visions from God, and I mean God had just really spoken to Paul about some huge stuff and shown him some huge stuff. The kind of stuff that me and you, that if we kind of had an encounter with God and God showed us this thing, we'd be running around going, hey, look what God showed me. Look at this. I'm cool and you're not. And Paul realized that. Paul was very much kind of feet planted on the ground pretty good here, but yet nonetheless, God's allowing something to happen in Paul's life. But Paul starts talking about this in verse 7 of chapter 12, and it says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Some of you are thinking about your in-laws right now. Stop. Verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, check this out, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I think a lot of us are just probably just a little guilty of relying on things at times. This is a toolbox, if you couldn't tell. And inside of it, guess what's in it? Tools. Wow, man, y'all are good. And these tools represent all kinds of stuff. Oh, now, I'm going to be a little selective here with my tools. You see, a lot of us look at this stuff, and any good mechanic, any good construction guy, anybody that is used to working on stuff that uses tools would tell you that to do the job right is to have the right tools. That's just kind of a given thing. Man, we love tools, do we not? My uncle, this is just a great little side note that I'll just share with you. This is free. He is a construction guy. He builds houses and renovates houses and all kinds of stuff. And he goes to Lowe's and he buys all this stuff that they have on clearance, including lots of tools. This Christmas, he just took me over to this house he was working on where he had all this stuff kind of piled and packaged away and put away. And it was just like, go right ahead. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm looking at these shelves and they're just full of tools. And he's like, just go right ahead. It's like, what are you talking about? He's like, get whatever you want. It's your Christmas present. And I was like, are you kidding me? I can just get any of these tools? And he's like, yeah, absolutely, just go right ahead. And so I did. I went right ahead. I mean, you got to know my uncle. He's very straightforward, and you know, he'd make fun of me if I didn't, probably. And you know, as I was going through all these tools and stuff, I was just like, man, this is so incredible. Free tools. Cool tools are cool, and free tools are even better. And you know, I just was thinking about all of these tools and how that a lot of us, you know, some of us may be really comfortable with a pair of pliers, you know, and you know, some of us may be more comfortable with a chalk line than others, or a level, or whatever the deal is here. But the truth is that these really are really good at representing our passions and our desires and our abilities. There's some of us here today that, man, we are so great at working with pliers. But we've got such a passion to want to be able to use a level. We just really would like to go through life leveling everything out. I know there's some of you in here that are like that. The truth is that sometimes God gives us a passion for the level because he doesn't want us to use the pliers. Because he knows that when we use the pliers, we are going to rely on everything that we already know. Because we've already got it figured out. And the truth is one of the things that Paul is trying to bring home in this passage of Scripture is that we are supposed to rely on God. And that when we rely on him in our weaknesses, maybe something that we're passionate about, but maybe not something that we know a lick about, that we know that God is going to have to do something special. Some of you are in here today and you've got some of these passions. And you know exactly what it is. Some of you are in here today and you don't have a clue what the passion is that God has given you. You just haven't thought about it that much before today. But these passions are so special. You see, I tell people all the time, in fact, when I've talked to people about leading, being on staff, being a team leader, all these different things, the first thing that I usually ask them about is not what they can do, but I ask them, what are you passionate about? You see, anybody can learn skill. You got that? Anybody can learn how to use a pair of pliers, or at least, you know, most anybody. A few people in here that might not. But you can't teach passion. Passion is something that God gives us in our hearts to further God's kingdom. And it's in this right here that we begin to find our fit. And we begin to find the things that God really has for us. In this passage of Scripture, as Paul is talking, he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, talking about this thorn in his flesh. Now, we honestly, according to Scripture, we don't really know exactly what the thorn was. It may have been an in-law. We're not sure. Probably not. He wasn't married. But we're not real sure. There's belief that it could have been a disease that he had, or it could have been literally a thorn. But we believe that it probably wasn't a thorn, just kind of the way he talks about it and different things. But the thing with this is that he has this thing that he knows Satan has brought on him, but then God is not delivering him from it. And why is that? Why is God not delivering him from it? Paul pleads with God three times, he says, to take it from him. And it says in verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I would much rather people look at what has happened at 24 Church, what has happened in my own personal life even, and say, you know what, that's not because of Chris, and it's not because of that group of people. That is a work of God. And there are things in your life that God wants to be able to work through so that other people can recognize him and not you. And that's a little tough for us to stomach sometimes because we love it when people recognize us. Oh, hey, you did a great job with that. Congratulations on that. You've got some skill. God understands that sometimes our skills get in the way of His working. And many times He wants to purposefully use something different in our lives. And so, you know, a lot of times I think churches are real great, and I've been guilty of this in my past. We're so great about, hey, let's give you a spiritual gifts test. And here's your spiritual gifts test, and you're great at this, and you're terrible at that, and you know, we need, you know, and you want to be smart. You know, don't do something crazy, but be smart with the things that God has gifted you with and use those things for Him. I'm not saying you don't use your talents and gifts for God, but you do. But at the same time, understand your limitations, and at the same time, understand what He's given you a passion for. Those passions will change everything about your life and about Him. In this passage, it goes on, and it says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Now, just get a load of this right here. He's delighting in these things, remember, in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But this only happens if we have a clean heart and a steadfast spirit, and we've kept the joy of our salvation. Because otherwise, when somebody hurls an insult our way and we hear about it from Joe Bob's brother, Jimmy, who I'll start with J, we automatically want to turn around and do the same thing back. But when we are walking with God, our call becomes so much better. Becomes so much better. I want to challenge you this morning to do this. I want you to name one thing. I want you to think about one thing that God has given you a passion for. And how in the world could you possibly ever use that thing for God's kingdom? I don't know. But I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. You may not come up with it this morning, but I want you to ask some questions, just some basic stuff, and you can just start by just saying that there are things that only you can do in the people around you. Maybe there are things, maybe you do have a gift, maybe you do have a talent of something that you don't know anybody else that's as good at doing that thing than you are. Begin praying about that thing. Begin praying how you might be able to use that thing. But at the same time, I want you to ask, God, is that what I'm passionate about? And what are the things that I'm passionate about? Because, God, I want to be passionate about these things that you would have me to do for your kingdom. It's your work, and it's your kingdom. So make me passionate about something for you, and for you to begin to understand that you have a fit. You have a fit not just in where you work and not just in your family, but you have a fit in your church. And this may not be your church, but I'm just going to tell you, wherever your church is, you need to serve in it. You need to be a part of that body. If you are not a part of that body, then your church is unfulfilled. And if there is anything wrong with your church, it is because you are not doing your part. And that is tough to stomach for some of us, because we will draw the lines and say, I've done this and I've done that and I've, you know, for years I did this. Give it a rest. God is speaking to you through Scripture today. And He is saying that it is through your weaknesses that He is made powerful. I'm tempted to even say, don't even look at the things you've done before in church work. You might. That might be where your passion is. But a lot of the times, the reason being that we weren't satisfied or happy before in what we were doing in God's work is because it was not what we were passionate about. Have people come up all the time at church and say, I just want to do whatever you need me to do, Chris. And you know what I say to them every single time? I want you to do what you're passionate about doing. I believe that if everybody did what they were passionate about doing, the bride of Christ would shine like nothing anybody has ever seen on this planet. That it would look like no other organization on this planet. People that don't know Christ would be drawn to this because they would see tons of people satisfied in being joyful in their salvation. They're going to be drawn to that. They're going to go, you know what? I want to know what that's about. Because my life stinks and it's horrible and I'm tired of being miserable all the time. And they're getting up early to go up there and greet, and they're happy about that. There's got to be something to that. Some of you are here this morning and you're going, Chris, I just can't even imagine what I could possibly do that would bring me joy in serving God. I just don't know. And Chris, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to find the right thing. How many times I've heard that? Let me just encourage you to do this. Do something. We're going to talk a little bit about that next week. But the point is that God has called us to serve Him. And our serving Him is one of the greatest things that we could ever do for His kingdom. And this morning, you've got a chance to be challenged by Scripture to imagine, beyond your weaknesses, imagine what God might want to do through you. How could you possibly be passionate at something you're not good at? Maybe you're supposed to organize it. Maybe you find people that are good at it, and you're supposed to organize it. I don't know. But God has given us passions and desires for a reason. The tough thing is that so many of us are just going to say, what if? What if, Chris? What if it goes wrong? God doesn't care about the what ifs. If He's put a passion on your heart, there's a reason for it. The thing for us to also understand is that vision sometimes, in fact, most of the time, seems crazy when it's hatched. You may go home today and you may tell your spouse, or you may tell your significant other, your brother, your sister, your mom or dad or whatever. You may go, you know what, I really think that God's wanting me to do this. And they may look at you and start laughing. Okay? It's okay. It's vision. It's not a plan. You're not putting the plan together today. You're dreaming big today. While the rest of the world is telling you, you got to have a plan, and you know, you got to think, you know, just within the confines of this deal, I'm telling you today, go the opposite way of that and dream big for God's kingdom. Dream big in thinking about what it could possibly be that God could use you to do. I know that a lot of you are probably sitting here thinking this morning, there's nothing that I can do. Back in the early 60s, there was a 17-year-old boy who lived in the mountains of central Kentucky. He went to church every day, and his parents took him to church, especially his mother. He had several brothers and sisters, and they would always go. It was just kind of what they did. And he was the youngest, and at this point, most of the other brothers and sisters had already left home. But he was at church one day, and God began to speak to his heart about something. And he began to speak to his heart about the possibility of him preaching. The thing was about this person is that they had this huge stuttering problem. In fact, the stuttering problem was so bad that most people made fun of this person. And when he turned to his family and to his home church, which was a pretty small church, and he began to share with them, you know what, I think God is calling me to preach His word. People in his own church and people in his own family, pretty much everybody except his mother, looked at him and laughed. And so, well, there's, you know, that's good. And as a matter of fact, he tells the story is that he remembers going down front in church that day, and at the end of church, they announced what God was leading this young man to do, and people came by after church, and he said, you know, I remember them coming by and kind of patting me on the shoulder and saying, you know, that's good that God is speaking your heart. You know, maybe God will have something for you. Maybe God will have something else for you. Maybe this is not it. He fought through that. He fought through pretty much everybody in his family never being really educated to go on and he get an education, went through college, worked really hard on his stuttering. He began preaching when he was 17. Every opportunity he could. My understanding, he spoke at roller skating rinks and all kinds of stuff. God allowed him to go to seminary and continue to work on his speaking and continue to work on his preaching and his understanding of God's word. And everybody else around him assumed that he would never do this. This would never work out. There's no possible way it could ever happen. He stutters too bad. There's just no way. That man is my father. He has pastored churches for the last 40 years of his life. I have been with him when he has led people to the Lord. I don't know anybody personally that has led more people to the Lord than David Royalty. He is one of the greatest pastors I know. He is one of the greatest preachers that I know. And at one time in his life when he was 17 years old, and don't let your excuse be that you're not 17 years old today. At one time in his life when he was 17 years old, people were looking at him and saying pretty much, you know, you're just a little crazy, David. There's no way this could work. But he knew his weakness. And he knew what Paul said. And he knew that God had given him one of these. He knew that he had a passion. And this morning, you're probably here and you've probably got a passion. And God has probably put it on your heart. And it may not be to pastor a church. But let me just tell you what. If your passion is to stand at those doors back there before and after a service and make sure that people that are seeking something different in their life, when they walk through the door, that they are welcomed and loved, then let me tell you what, that is just as special of a passion as any pastor that ever would get on any stage. The toughest thing is to make the first step, to admit that God might want to do something different in your heart, that he might want to do something in your life. In fact, the leaders that are around me that I have spent more time with than anybody else, and I've asked them, what do you regret most in your ministry, in your business, whatever it is, what do you regret the most? Every single one of them say the same thing. I wish I took more risks. Do you possibly think that God would call you to take a risk for him and that he wouldn't bless it? Do you possibly think that he would miss out on an opportunity to flex his muscles through us, sinful men, to show the world what kind of God he really is? I don't. I don't doubt it for a minute. And I don't doubt for a minute that there's not a single person in this room that God wants to use to do a great thing for his kingdom. The question is, will you imagine what that thing is this morning? Let me pray for us. God, I just ask, Lord, that you would guide us and that you would lead us this morning to what it is, God, that you would want us to do for you. God, some of us, we just don't know. We honestly don't know. And we may be seeking you with all of our heart. God, I want to really lift up that person right now because, God, it can be really a struggle and a tough thing sometimes to not know what it is, God, that you've given us a passion for, a desire to do. God, it may just seem so out there that it just doesn't even seem like it would ever be possible. God, I pray, Lord, that you would use stuttering preachers to show us that you can do great things. God, I pray, Lord, that we would understand that if we wait of what we're afraid of, God, that we'll never do it. And that courage is grabbing a hold of the fear and moving forward. God, I pray, Lord, for that kind of courage within this group of people this morning. God, I just thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to study your word and to see how clear you are about something like a weakness and how, God, you want to move and work through that and be glorified through that just like you were, Paul. God, I pray, Lord, that we would seek out our passions, that we would not be afraid of them. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would give a peace, Lord, to everybody in this room right now, and Lord, especially those that are really seeking you. God, that they would know, God, that there is nothing more incredible than getting to be used by you. God, use our weaknesses. Work through us. Lord, allow us to rely completely and wholeheartedly on you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity that we have to worship you together. In your name I pray. Amen.